We've done that here. You've all heard this whole book, haven't you? We've obeyed this command. The sad thing is I see many believers and make-believers, they've never read through the book of 1 Thessalonians. They've never heard it in church. They've never heard it in the body of Christ. So little of God's word goes out in total, in little bits and pieces, but God's word doesn't go out in total or completely. You see, the reading of scripture in the church was paramount.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today you wrap up this entire series in the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it has been quite a journey.
You know, Dave, this little book, this letter that the Apostle Paul writes to this infant church, just five chapters long, contains so much truth for us and for our future. And indeed, in our program today, we're going to see the Apostle Paul's final exhortation to the Thessalonians concerning how they should live. Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 25 through 28.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
You know, it's important to look at our historical culture and try to interpret that way, but that's not the primary way we interpret Scripture. We interpret Scripture with Scripture. Luke chapter 7, verse 44. And turning to the woman, he said to Simon, that's not Simon Peter, by the way. He said, do you see this woman? I entered your house. He was the Pharisee that his house is his house, right? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me what? No kiss. It was a greeting. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time she has been, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. So this idea, it was a holy ghost, it was a greeting. It was a greeting of those who had a relationship. They were showing a love for one another. And the Jews had that, culturally speaking, within their nation because they were of the Lord, at least outwardly. Now notice he says back in our passage, greet one another with a holy kiss. He explains it, doesn't he? Folks, there are greetings that are not holy. There are greetings that are holy. Certainly some greetings can be unfortunately sexual in nature. It can be that way. I heard of a pastor who would hug everybody at the front door. Now I'm not saying I know his heart, you know, but he wasn't very wise, and a non-believer came up to him one day and said, I see how you hug all the babes, and winked at him. The reality is we need to be very careful in our greetings. It needs to be holy. It needs to be holy. Okay, now it also needs to not be deceitful or hypocritical. Can you think of someone in Scripture who gave Jesus a kiss, and it was deceitful and hypocritical? Look at Luke chapter 22. This was a standard greeting in that time, and usually you see it between men and men and women in that sense, even though the woman was kissing Jesus' feet, but standardly, that's what you see. Notice what he does. Luke 22, verse 47. While he was still speaking, that's the Lord Jesus, a multitude came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to do what? To kiss him. It's a greeting. And he says here, but Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? You're a hypocrite, Judas. You see, it was a standard greeting, but that greeting could be hypocritical or sinful, unholy. And we're being commanded to greet all the brethren, not a few of them. You know, there's lots of little cliques in churches. The people you like, oh, they get the greeting. But the other ones, you kind of, well, you know. Your heart isn't there. Well, that point is not the greeting. The point is, where is your heart towards everybody? Greet everyone, as we're going to see. We should have a heart towards every true believer, as we're going to see. It shouldn't be clicky. So notice what he says. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Now, the possibility is he's saying greet for us, but it really in the context here, I don't think that's it, because in other places he'll say greet them for us. Here he's not saying that. I think he's talking about greeting. greet one another. Because he's going to say the next thing, have the letter read to everybody. So what's the significance of a greeting? As I mentioned before, it speaks of affection within a family. And the Jews understood the significance. There was either a family or a religious bond. And for us, all the brethren, we are in the family of God. The family of God is a higher family than our own families. We should be greeting one another with our hearts, in a sense, first of all, not the action outwardly, but we should want to see those who are brothers and sisters in Christ even more than our own families. What did Jesus say, Matthew chapter 12, about his family? It wasn't that he was treating them badly. It's that there's a higher family. There's a higher family. Matthew 12, verse 47, and someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered the one who was telling him and said, who is my mother? Who are my brothers? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, emphatically. For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, sister, and mother. And he goes on to say the very same thing in Luke chapter 8, where he says, my mother and brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. They're those who obey God. They're new creations. They're those who have the ability now and the desire to obey God. That's my family. So we are to greet one another, or greet all the brethren. We're to have an affection for those who are spiritual brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We're to do that, and it is to be holy. It's to be holy. Now, how do we do it in a holy manner? Well, certainly there's within the customs in which we live, right? You know, we don't have a custom where we kiss everybody that comes around. There's a little bit. I mean, every once in a while you'll see those, you know, in formal settings, you know, kissing the cheek. You know, there's that, maybe that, you know, there's that semi-culturally. But the reality is, in our culture, because it's so sexual, things can be misconstrued very easily. And we need to be very careful that what we do is holy from the inside, but also does not lend to the appearance of being unholy on the outside. Sadly, we've had people here who were huggers. And people may have hugged. Don't judge people. You don't know where their hearts are at. Let God deal with that, okay? But we can learn that we weren't misconstrued, okay? But we've had people that have proved themselves to be maybe not spiritually right after they've left. But they were hugging everybody, and it would make me uncomfortable. Every woman came through, oh, you know, and I don't know what the heart was going on there. But we need to stay away from that which is unholy. I would say, not as a law or a rule or anything like that, but maybe men hug men and women hug women. That seems holy to me. I would be cautious about the other, okay? Now, obviously, there's a context to that. Don't be going around to be the hug police, all right? We're to love one another. We're to love one another, okay? But we need to be discerning in that. It says, greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. As long as it's holy in how you do it, then that's good. But I think the point is, we should have an affection. The greeting was an affection. It was an affection, a family. It's saying, as we'll see, it was saying, we are family. We are together in Christ. You see in scripture all throughout about greeting one another. You see it, Philippians chapter 4:21, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. Hebrews 13:24, greet all the leaders and all the saints. Those from Italy greet you. Hey, we are in Christ. It's a special bond. Now, something that's important, and there's two caveats, and I already mentioned one part of it already, was we just don't greet those within the body of Christ that we are clickier or like more than others. Be very careful. What does Jesus say in Matthew 5? Turn to Matthew 5. Now, the assumption is this is Israel. They are God's people. Remember the context. So it's almost like the church in a sense. Now, not everyone who was Israel really was Israel, that they really believed, right? We know that. But the assumption is they're God's people, okay? And notice what he says. Matthew 5:46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same thing? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You're not to be isolated in your greeting. And I think in the context for us, if it says greet all the brethren, there shouldn't be a few that you greet more than you greet anyone else. There should be a heart affection. And I'll share this at times, and it's not the way it used to be in our church, but it was this way before. People would come in the door, and my heart's like, I want to say hi, and people are just sitting there like ignoring everybody. Don't manufacture that, but you should be happy to see them. It should be a blessing. These are my brothers and sisters in Christ. They are my brothers and sisters. Now, one last warning, one caveat. Turn to 2 John. The greeting really did signify you are saying they're a brother or sister in Christ, by the way. It did. It's really saying you are the family of God and I love you. You're my brother or sister in Christ. It's a very serious thing. And so therefore, we better not greet anyone that isn't of Christ or someone who makes it look like they are, but they're not. Be very careful, otherwise you will share in their sins. Notice how this is spoken here. Notice the greeting issue here. The greeting issue. 2 John, verse 8. And this has to do with those churches that are not good either, by the way. Be very careful. 2 John, verse 8. Watch yourselves that you may not lose what we have accomplished, but that you may receive a full reward. Hey, the word of God has been working in you. You're being built up more like Christ, but you can lose that and not receive a full reward. Very serious. Watch yourself. Warning. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide, that means remain in the teaching of Christ, does not have God. And the one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house and what? Do not give him a greeting. That's the significance. For he who gives him, he's explaining, a greeting participates in his evil deeds. Don't be treating those denominational churches down the road as your brothers and sisters. Don't be saying, hey, brother. They're not. Do not give them a greeting. That's the point. We're not in the same family. And if you do so, you're now identifying with them and you cause people to stumble. You participate in their evil deeds. That's a pretty serious situation. Those who have a wrong gospel, those who twist the word of God, those who are not bringing the truth of Christ rightly, don't greet them. They're not brothers and sisters in Christ. They are not. You participate in their evil deeds. So the greeting was very important back then. It was an identification of being in the family of God. And we are to greet every brother with the Holy Ghost. Not a manufactured thing. It should be a heart thing. I love you guys, and I'm glad you're here. You know what I'm saying? Glad to see you. How you doing, right? There's a genuine concern and care like you would with any true family member you love when you see them. So then, we are to be praying for the leaders. He says, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. Notice what he says next, back in 1 Thessalonians. I adjure you, verse 27, chapter 5, by the Lord to have this letter read to, again, this term, all the brethren. He says, I adjure you by the Lord. This is a command from Paul, but yet it is Paul saying it's the Lord that's making this through me. And it all is, but he's strengthening it. I adjure. The term adjure is a very strong term. It means to put under a binding oath. I put you under a binding oath to do this by the Lord. The Lord is putting you under an oath to do this. To do what? I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. Very important. Notice he says to all the brethren. There's an implication that the whole body of Christ is to hear it. And it was actually spoken in a tense that means a singular act in a particular time. Get them together and read this letter. You are obligated by the Lord to do this. I adjure you by the Lord. Now, at this time, there were copies of the Old Testament scriptures. Remember, the Bereans checked the scriptures to see if it was so. There were copies of it. The New Testament letters, we have some that were out, like this here, and yet they were not complete, nor were they copied yet in mass. Okay? So letters were read to the congregations in that sense, and they needed to be read. And so, by God's grace, we've done that here. You've all heard this whole book, haven't you? We've obeyed this command. The sad thing is I see many believers and make believers, they've never read through the book of 1 Thessalonians. They've never heard it in church. They've never heard it in the body of Christ. So little of God's word goes out in total, little bits and pieces, but God's word doesn't go out in total or completely. You see, the reading of scripture in the church was paramount. We see that from Paul. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Greet the brethren, verse 15, who were in Laodicea and also Nympha and the church that is in her house. And when this letter is read among you, Colossians 4:16, have it also read to the church of the Laodiceans, and you for your part read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Read the letter. Have them all listen to it. The early church was continually devoted to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread and prayer. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul tells Timothy, until I come, verse 13, give attention to the public reading of scripture, to exhortation and teaching. That's what the church should be about. What about 2 Timothy chapter 4? Turn there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Paul says, I solemnly charge you. Very serious, serious charge. Again, these charges have to do with the word of God going out. That's why pastors that don't put out the word of God are so evil. Such an evil act. Can't think of anything more evil than a pastor not feeding the sheep. 2 Timothy 4:1. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths or stories. You see that? So Paul says, I adjure you by the Lord, have this letter read. Serious charge. Now God uses his word to bring us into his kingdom, the gospel. We're born again through the living and abiding word of God. But also it is the means in which he equips us for every good work, 2 Timothy 3:16. It's his word that performs its work in us, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It is his word by which we grow in respect to salvation, 1 Peter 2:1. It's his word by which we renew our minds and are not conformed to this world but transformed, Romans chapter 12. It's his word which is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. It's his word which we are to hide in our hearts that we might not sin against him. It's his word that we live by spiritually. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. This should be taught and read in every church all the way. I adjure you by the Lord. I adjure you. Sadly, this isn't happening in many churches, but there's nothing new under the sun, folks. Listen to what a preacher wrote more than 100 years ago. The word of God is not loved and studied, either privately or publicly. Trashy literature is devoured in public, music and ritualistic services, and imposing ceremonies are eagerly sought in the public. Thousands will flock to hear music and pay for admission, but how few care for a meeting to read the Holy Scriptures? These are the facts, and the facts are powerful arguments. We cannot get over them. There is a growing thirst for religious excitement and a growing distaste for the calm study of the Holy Scripture and the spiritual exercise of Christian activity. It's perfectly useless to deny it. We cannot shut our eyes to it. The evidence meets us on every hand. And he says, thank God there are few here and there who really love the Word of God and delight to meet in holy fellowship for the study of his precious truths. May the Lord increase the number of such and bless them abundantly. May our lot be cast with them till our traveling days are done. That's more than 100 years ago. So true. The reality is the Word of God should be going forth in the churches. Have this letter read to all the brethren. Now, maybe some of you have lost your desire for the Word of God. I tell you, sin has gotten in the way. When our desire goes out the window for the Word of God, our selfishness, our sins in the way, we got to confess. And God will purify our hearts. He cleanses our hearts from our sin, and then he gives us a desire for it. You just listen when Solomon recounts David talking to him when he was young in Proverbs 4. He says, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them, speaking of the Word of God, and health to their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Watch over your heart. Have the word functioning rightly. May we all have a tremendous hunger for God's glorious provision of his word for us. So then, we come to the last command. He says, first of all, brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I adjure you by the Lord to have this letter read to all the brethren. And he says here, not a command, he just says, hey, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. He says, the grace of our Lord. He's the Lord. He's the sovereign. Jesus, the term Jesus is when God the Son took on human flesh. You shall name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Matthew 1:21. It means the Lord is salvation. Christ, it speaks of the Messiah, the King predicted in the Old Testament, who would rule forever and ever on the throne of David, who would die for us, suffer first for the glories to follow. And he is Lord. May his grace be with you. That's the desire. His grace. Now, what is grace? It's God's unmerited favor revealed in none other than Christ and what he's done. It's an attribute of God. 1 Peter 5:10 spoke of the God of all grace. We see throughout Scripture that God's unmerited favor towards mankind is manifest in Christ. In Christ. John said in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth, unmerited favor and truth. 2 Corinthians 8:9, encouraging the Corinthians to give their previous pledge from a heart that's right, that desires to help the body of Christ. He says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you might become rich. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. God's grace has appeared. Ephesians 2:8-9, we've been saved by grace. God poured his favor that we didn't deserve out on us by sending his son Jesus for us. But it's not only are we saved by his grace, we function by his grace. Every day we function in the same context where we can't do it, it's all him. May God's grace be with you. May it not be you on your own. May it be God's grace with you. Peter's desire was that grace and peace would be multiplied in our lives. 2 Peter 1. Jesus said, apart from him, we can do nothing. John 15. 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that we're adequate to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. God told Paul that his grace is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12:9. For power is perfected in weakness. Now, for his grace to be manifest in your life, you need to humble yourselves that he would work through you. His power is perfected in weakness. So he ends this letter with the desire of God through Paul's desire, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. May you function more and more by total dependence on Christ, his favor poured out in your life and everything you do. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. So then, wonderful commands and a final statement. We're to pray for those who share the word of God with us. We're to express a holy affection for all the brethren in our midst, all of them in our midst. We're to take God's word seriously, and we're to function by God's grace alone. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we close today's broadcast and wrap up this entire series, give us a final thought for us to take away from this book of 1 Thessalonians.
You know, Dave, if there was one point I wanted our listeners to take away from this series, it is that living the Christian life is about obeying God's word. We saw this in the earliest chapters of 1 Thessalonians, and we saw this theme repeated throughout these five chapters. And if you long to see God's hand of true blessing in your life, obey his word. It's really as simple as that. And folks, our obedience to the Lord can only be done in the context of total dependence and trust in him. The hymn writer got it right. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. It's just that simple.
Now, if some of you realize that you've failed, that you haven't been trusting and obeying the Lord, confess your sins. He'll forgive you. Step out in faith and believe what He has said. Depend on Him. Fill your mind with His Word and obey Him, and He will work out His life in you.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.